So tonight we're going to talk about Siman Sadi and Shulchan Aruch, as we mentioned, which is all about Tefillah B'Tzibur. By way of introduction, the Mabit has a very important sefer called Beis Elokim. And I've heard Rav Asher Weiss quote this from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. I've never found it in Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz's Svarim, but I did find it in the Mabit, where he writes that this whole idea of Tefillah B'Tzibur is something that was a post-Churban idea. And that is because, he says, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the focal point of the Jewish community was Karbanos and the Beis HaMikdash, and there was no need at all to have Tefillah B'Tzibur. It was only once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were concerned, how are we going to keep Jewish communities together? What are we going to do? And it is only then that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah authored the Tefillah, came up with this whole idea of Dvarm Shebekdusha, where you need Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, you need a minion for that. And only then do we have this requirement of Tefillah B'Tzibur. If you look, Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva in Chelek Vav in Aruch Chaim, where he quotes this Mabit. That's where I found it. I didn't find the Mabit on my own. So Rav Avadya quotes this Mabit, and he disagrees with it. And he brings all kinds of proofs from the Rishonim and the Achronim and the Psukim that it's not clear at all that this is true, that this only started after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but it's an interesting idea, interesting hypothesis regardless. But obviously, davening with a minion is something that is very, very important, but not always so simple and not always so straightforward. I want to read you a passage from the Rivash. It's not here, but I want to read you from the Rivash, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, who writes, Me'eis Husar HaTamid, from the time that we no longer have the Karban Tamid, Haya Kapara L'Nafshosenu L'Kalei HaPesha, after we have no longer the opportunity to have Karbanos that are going to take care of all the problems, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't leave us. He didn't just leave us hanging. He didn't leave us stranded. Hishu lanu bracha. He left us over a great gift. Avodah shebalei v'zu atfila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still allowed us, in place of Karbanos, to have this incredible gift of tefillah. Ume'eis gala kavod bos beis migdashenu. And once we no longer have a beis HaMikdash, so now he writes, we have a migdash ma'ad, as we're told, v'nikdashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael. And he says that he's heard that there are people, yesh b'neichem tzas anashim, he says, I heard there are people in our town, acharei ba'atzas libam shogim laterif, that they try to make a parnasa, v'lo yitnu lev lalechas lebeis ha'tfilah. And as a result of them working so hard to try to diligently make a parnasa, they're not going to daven in shul, l'kabal aleim o'malcha shamayim b'soch achem, and he says, this is a terrible thing. And as a result of that, he says, we should really start instituting a knas. That's what the Rivash writes. We should penalize people in the community who are not showing up to Minyan. It's interesting. My wife's grandfather tells me that he lived in Woodmere before Young Israel Woodmere was what it was, and before this whole community was what it was, your father also. And he said he remembers they had a rotation where you were expected... What?
Jewry.
Is that what it was called? That they had a rotation where everyone was expected to come to a Minyan because they didn't have a Minyan. It's amazing to think about that now. And I think it's interesting that Rabbi Billet, I think for all the years that I've been here in the shul, and Rabbi Billet was giving a Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, he always said, we have so many minyanim, and it's so nice to see there's a 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock mincha, and an 11 o'clock ma'ariv, and all these minyanim. But when you count up the amount of people that are here, it still doesn't add up. Where is everybody? So it was interesting that I never thought of it that way. I always say, like, wow, whenever we need a minyan, it's so convenient. You have shachars every hour, you have mincha every hour, ma'ariv every hour. But then you think about it and you say, wow, there are a lot of people. So the Rivash writes, and in his community, this was the phenomenon there as well. Many people were busy, many people weren't coming to shul, and we have to assume most people are not making a conscious decision that we hate davening or we hate the shul. The reason they're not coming is because there's just so many other things going on and they're very distracted and they're probably very exhausted and other reasons. But the Rivash says that that is why he instituted in his community that they should have a knas, that a person who doesn't show up to shul was penalized. Now, how do you enforce the knas? I don't exactly know. But it was interesting. The Aderis writes in one of his svarim that in his opinion, every time that he wasn't able to daven with a minion, he felt, it's as if I wasn't davening at all. That's not al pi halacha. He just said, that's the way I felt. If you're going to daven with a minion, he said, I felt that was the real way that a tefillah is supposed to be davened. But if you're not going to have a minion, he said that in my opinion, that was something that I just was not comfortable with. So let's get into the issue here. Let's try to think about a number of different questions. Number one, when we talk about this idea of davening tefillah b'tzibur, is that a nice recommendation? Is that a good idea? Or is that something that we have an absolute obligation? Like we have to shake lulav, and we have to light Hanukkah candles, and we have to blow the shofar, and we have to lay the Megillah, and we also have to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Is that on par with everything else? Or would you say that that is something that is just a recommendation? We'll see in a few minutes what the answer to that is. Number two, what if a person will claim, I'll have more kavanah davening at home? When I come to shul, I'm distracted. There's just too much going on, too many things that are in my way, too many people there. I'll have a lot more kavana at home. Do you have a right to daven at home? Or would you say that, no, tefillah b'tzibur is an obligation and therefore you have to go regardless? Number three, what if a person is not feeling well? How much do they have to strain themselves to go and do tefillah b'tzibur? Number four, what if a person wants to go on a vacation and they don't have a minyan in the place where they're going to be vacationing? Is that something that is permissible or perhaps not? So let us just make one thing clear before we begin. And that is, number one, when we talk about tefillah b'tzibur, what exactly does it mean to daven b'tzibur? It doesn't mean that I say Baruch She'amar Ashrei Yishtabach with a tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur means that I daven Shmona Esrei with a tzibur, which is why I find myself in a very uncomfortable position. Everybody in this community somehow knows how to read Hebrew a lot faster than I do, and I'm never able to keep up with a minyan in this shul. I don't know, I think I could count on maybe my two hands how many times I've made Kedusha in a minyan. That's Shacharis and Mincha. In the 8 years that I've been here, it's just something that I can't keep up with. I don't know, everyone went to better schools than I did. So everybody seems to say the words very quickly. Very often, I'll stay for the next minyan to catch Kedusha for the next minyan. Now, I have the luxury to do that because my office is here. I could just step out of my office for 5 minutes to hear Chazaras HaShatz in the next minyan. Most people don't have that luxury. You daven, you're running off to work, your office is usually not going to be in the confines of this building, so you have a problem. So what does it mean to daven tefillah b'tzibur? So for me, I daven together with everyone, but then at some point along the way, I lose everyone, and then they daven Shemona Esrei. By the time they're up to Chazaras HaShatz, I'm starting Shemona Esrei. It's important to keep in mind that when we talk about tefillah b'tzibur, what we're saying is you have to daven Shemona Esrei with the tzibur. That's what you're supposed to be doing. It doesn't help that you daven slowly and you started with the tzibur, but then the tzibur goes way ahead of you and you can't keep up with them. That is not called tefillah b'tzibur. You may as well daven without the tzibur. I wouldn't say daven at home. There's still a reason to daven in shul. I remember when we closed the shuls the very first week of COVID, I asked Rabbi Axelrod, can I just open the shul? I'm going to come daven myself. I want to daven the shul. So he said, well, it's a nice idea. I appreciate the sentiment, but he said that's a terrible precedent. The same way you want to daven in the shul, everyone else also wants to daven in the shul. If we lock the shul, we lock the shul. But there's something to davening in a Beis HaKnesses, even when you're not going to have a minyan. But either way, when we talk about tefillah b'tzibur, it's important that we understand what the term means. It means davening Shmona Esrei with the tzibur. So that is a very important point to be aware of. So we begin with the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Ches, where the Gemara tells us the following. What does it mean? Says the Gemara, when is it considered an ace ratzon to daven? When the tzibur is davening, that is considered to be an ace ratzon. That is a auspicious time to daven. The Gemara then goes further and says, how do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be disgusted, is not going to turn away the tefillah of a tzibur? So Rashi explains that when you have a tefillah sarabim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never turn away, he will never be turned off by that kind of tefillah, and that is why the Gemara assumes that there's something very special to davening together with a tzibur, which is why the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos Daf Mem Tes that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'chol kareinu elav." Whenever we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He's going to answer us. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Doesn't it say, "Dirshu Hashem behimatzo"? So it's the Gemara's kasha. It says, "Behimatzo," when He's going to be found. But you just told me Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'chol kareinu elav." Whenever we call out, He listens. Says the Gemara, you're right. If you're davening with a tzibur, then whenever the tzibur calls out together, that's b'chol kareinu elav. When all of us call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, He's going to listen to us. When you're davening b'yechidus, then you have to find an auspicious time to daven. Dirshu Hashem b'yimatzo. If you're lucky, you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a good time when He's prepared to accept your tefillah. If you're unlucky and you got the wrong time, then that's something that may not have the power that you may have wanted. So this is what the Gemara tells us. There is something definitely very important about davening together with a tzibur. So let's look at question number one. Question number one is there actually an obligation to daven with a tzibur? Or is this something that is just a recommendation? It will give us a better chance at our tefillahs being answered, and that's why it's probably a good idea to follow the Gemara's recommendation. So we begin with the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. But the Gemara tells us a story. We know the halacha is when you have an eved, the eved has to be kept as an eved. La'olam bahem ta'avod. You have to make that eved stay in your property forever. You're not allowed to free him. If you're meshachre the eved, if you free the slave, you violate an Aveira of Le'olam Behem to Avodim, which is an interesting halacha. It's something that's very foreign to us. We're not familiar with this whole concept of Avodim. It doesn't mean if I have a housekeeper in the house. It means a real Eved, the days of an Eved, that would be something that the Gemara says, based on the Psukim, is Le'olam Behem to Avodim. So the Gemara says, in the times of the Tanaim, everybody had Avodim. This was not something that was considered to be unusual. This was not something that was considered to be uncomfortable. It wasn't unlawful. It was the right thing at the time.
Eved Kanani.
There's Eved Kanani and Eved Ivri.
No,
yes.
The Gemara is talking about now.
Eved Kanani. Yeah. Right. Sure. Yeah. Eved Ivri. The Gemara says is Yotzi B'Sheish.
Right.
He leaves at the end. So in Eved Ivri, thank you. So in Eved Ivri, the Gemara says, in Eved Ivri means you have a Jewish person who, for whatever reason, falls on hard times. He's unable to make a parnasa. He can't pay back. He borrowed money from people. Whatever. So he sells himself as an Eved. So the Gemara says that's for a finite period of time. If you buy a non-Jewish Eved, so then the Gemara says that's an Eved Kanani. And then there are different rules and regulations that will govern each of those halachas. So here the Gemara tells an interesting story. Rabbi Lezer, one of the Tanaim, comes into shul one day, and he sees they only have 9 people for the minyan. What are we going to do? Only 9 people for the minyan. So he stands outside, he tries to wave people down, there's no one around. So what does he do? So the Gemara says he takes his Eved, and he's meshachar him. He takes his servant, and he frees him. And then he says, oh, now you're a full-fledged Jew, and now you're able to serve as the 10th man for the minyan. That's the story that the Gemara says. Ask the Gemara, how is he able to do that? Don't you know, the Olam Mehem Ta'avodah, you're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani. So how did Rabbi Lezer go ahead and free his Eved if he was violating an Isur De'araisa? Answers the Gemara, no, you're right. It is a problem. But because the counter-argument here is Mitzvah De'Rabim, because you need the Tzibur to now have a minion and be able to daven together, that's why Rabbi Lezer felt it was justified that he was Meshachar as Eved. Even though you're right, it's an Isur De'araisa. You're not allowed to generally do that. Under these specific circumstances where it was a Mitzvah De'Rabim, where the whole community needed it because they needed a minion, so that would be considered a sufficient reason to go ahead and do this. That's what the Gemara tells us. We then move to a Gemara Meseches Pesachim, where the Gemara says, what happens if somebody is traveling? And we know that he has to daven with a minion, seemingly. So the Gemara says, L'tfila, the Gemara doesn't specify that it's for a tefila with a minion. The Gemara says, L'tfila, to daven, he has to be able to travel arba milim. You have to go so far out of your way, we assume that a mil is 18 minutes. So 4 milim is 4 times 18. You have to be willing to go 4 milim out of your way to go get a tefila somewhere else from where you are. Interesting halacha. Now it would seem from that this is probably a real mitzvah, to daven with a minion. It's an obligation. Because after all, if I wasn't obligated to daven with a minion, you're going to tell me I have to travel over an hour to go get a minion? That sounds unreasonable. If you're going to tell me that davening with a minion is not a real, actual obligation, you're going to tell me that Rabbi Lezer was allowed to free his slave to violate an Isur D'Oraisa to make a minion, what's the justification for that? If it's just a nice idea, it's a nice idea. But if it's an obligation, then these Gemaras actually make sense. Okay, problem is, we then come to a Gemara Meseches Brachos, where the Gemara says in Daf Zayin that Rabbi Yitzchak was once talking to Rav Nachman, and he asked him, why didn't you come to shul today? Loy asimar lebeik nishta, my timer, why didn't you come to shul? Amarle, he says, lo yachilna, I wasn't feeling well. Amarle, lechan filamar asara, filitzli. Okay, so you weren't up to it, you weren't feeling well. Why didn't you at least gather a minion in your house? You should have at least asked a couple of people to come help you make a minion. He says, nah, trichali milsa, what, I'm going to start making myself crazy, calling everybody, waving people off the street. I wasn't feeling well, I had a headache, I davened at home. Now, that Gemara seems to say, okay, a minion is a nice idea. If I have a headache and I'm not feeling well enough, so I don't make a minion. You could have gotten a minion to your house. Not trichali milsa, it's a tircha. What does that mean? It's a tircha for me to go to shul and hear tkiyah shofar also. It's a tircha for me to go to shul on Purim night and go hear the Megillah. And it's a tircha for me to go light the Hanukkah candles and make sure to be home at the right time. So what do you mean it's a tircha? It's a tircha, but you do it. So what do you mean here? So it seems from this Gemara that maybe davening with a minion is not an actual obligation. It is simply a recommendation that Chazal make. If you want your tefillah to be answered, it's probably going to stand a better chance of being answered if you daven with a minion. If you daven alone, you don't have the koach hatzibur. So this is the steer on the Gemara. On the one hand, we have the Gemara that seems to say you're allowed to free a slave to make a minion. Seems that it's a mitzvah. Number two, the Gemara says, in order to daven with a minion, I have to be willing to travel over an hour out of my way to make that minion. And number three, we have this Gemara that seems to say that minion is not as important as we may have thought. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim to answer these Gemaras. Number one is the approach of the Rambam. The Rambam is of the opinion, if you look over here, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tfila, Perek Ches, that a person should always daven with a minyan, but then he adds in the words, Kol Zman Sheyachol. It's underlined here. Lo Yispal B'Yachid, Kol Zman Sheyachol Yispal L'Matzibur. The Rambam says, you should daven with a minyan whenever you're able to. What do you mean whenever you're able to? What does that mean? You should always make sure that you're able to. So what does it mean when the Rambam says, Kol Zman Sheyachol? Well, it seems clear in the Rambam that he's just believing that this is just a recommendation. This is not an absolute obligation. It is simply a recommendation. If it's just a recommendation, so then why does the Gemara say over here that you have to travel over an hour to go for tefillah? What is that? The Rambam says, no, that Gemara is not talking about making a minyan. You would not have to go over an hour to make a minyan. That's unreasonable. It's just a recommendation. So what does the Gemara mean when it says you have to travel over an hour for tefillah? Rambam says, no. Look over here, number 6, where the Rambam says, Anuchas tefillah perek dalet. Taras hayadayim ketzad. How am I supposed to purify my hands? Rochitz yada b'mayim ad aperek v'achar kach hispalo. Writes the Rambam, you should always wash your hands before you daven. Hayim ahalech b'derech, what if I'm traveling? V'yigia zman ha-tfilah, and I have to daven now, and it's time to daven shachris, mincha, or marav, whatever you're up to, and you don't have any water to wash your hands with before you daven. Says the Rambam, if you're traveling and you don't have water, you should travel up to an hour to get water. Not to daven with a minyan, to get water. So that's the way the Rambam explains that Gemara. So now everything, what? So now we're still stuck with the Gemara and Brachas. Why? Because the Gemara and Brachas says that what? The Rabbi Elazar freed the slave. How is he allowed to free the slave if this is not an actual obligation? Turn to the next page and you see the Magen Avraham tries to explain that. Writes the Rambam, how do you explain that Gemara and Brachas? What heter did he have to be Meshachar Zeved? It's an Issa D'Araisa. Why were you Meshachar Zeved? You don't have the mitzvah of making a minion. So what's the heter? He says, no, the answer is because he wanted to make sure that the minion is going to be able to say Kaddish and Kedusha. Not because he has an obligation to do it. The way the Magen Avraham explains it here is, if you look carefully in his words, the way he explains it is, there is an obligation on a tzibur to say Dvarim Shebekdusha, to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, to say Kaddish and Kedusha and Baruch Hu, and to elevate the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's an obligation on the tzibur as a whole. It's not my obligation to be there. We have to make sure that every community says Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. Nu? So you have a tzibur that needs to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, writes the Magen Avraham, you got to be Meshachar the Eved. Not because you need a daven with a minyan, but because the tzibur needs to fulfill their obligation of Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. But say, for example, writes the Magen Avraham, there already would have been a minyan, and now I just happen to miss it. But there is a minyan in town that's doing this, that's saying Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. In a situation like that, Rabbi Lezer would have had no heter at all to be Meshachar Zeved. Very novel, very interesting interpretation. But that is what Rabbi Lezer writes. 1 second, you had a question first. Yeah? Yeah. Okay, good.
Is the Rambam saying washing your hands before davening? Is that important?
Yes, that's what the Rambam says. And that's the way the Rambam interprets the Gemara. He says he would have to travel even up to an hour just to wash your hands before davening, which is an important halacha. So it's interesting. In Shulchan Aruch it actually says that before one davens, they're supposed to wash their hands. Why do you do that? Now, number one, if someone may have dirty hands, so you have to wash your hands before you daven and say a bracha anyway. But let's assume most of us don't have dirty hands after, you know, we have sinks outside of every bathroom, so usually, you know, people are not walking around with dirty hands. So why would I have to wash my hands? So the Shulchan Aruch says today, we have to wash our hands because of Hikol Nikras Elokecha Yisrael. You have to do something to show that you're preparing yourself for the experience of tefillah. This is actually a question that was brought up. I was just in Camp Simcha, and I mentioned this briefly on Shabbos, but it's a question that I never thought of. I'm not sure why till this summer. This was my 6th summer there, and it's so obvious, it's so glaring in the face, but I never thought of it till this summer when 2 counselors came and asked me the question. They wanted to know, part of the festive atmosphere in camp, and part of the way that they elevate and lift the spirits of the kids, is when counselors dress up and they have a whole theme and everything, but they look ridiculous. So these counselors wanted to know, we're not going to be able to run back and forth to the bunks every time we need a daven, Shachris Mincha Maariv, to change back and forth. So are we allowed to daven in these costumes? And I think that's a really beautiful question. It's a very interesting question. There's a certain mode of dress that we're all supposed to have when we daven. There's a certain preparation we're supposed to do before we daven. this certainly doesn't follow any of those guidelines. So would I be allowed to daven in a costume? So the poskim actually talk about it when it comes to Purim. Shevet HaLevi and other contemporary poskim talk about it, and they say, if you have a misnagid that's going to wear a shtreimel on Purim, so there are many serious chassidim who wear shtreimels and daven seriously. So this misnagid, when he's wearing a shtreimel, is able to daven as seriously as a chassidim. That's not a leitzanus, it's okay. That's the extent of the Purim custom that he talks about. He doesn't describe Superman and all the other things that people walk into shul on Purim. He's talking about a chassid who's wearing a black hat that's not a chassidish hat, and he walks into daven mincha in the middle of Purim afternoon. Oh, so he says you can daven like a serious misnagid also. It's okay, you won't kill your tefillah. Interesting. Anyway, I asked my father the question. I knew that it's obviously mutter, of course it's okay, but I was interested to see how the various poskim would phrase the answer. And what I was very taken by was Rabbi Rimon wrote a very beautiful response, and he explained al pi halacha why he thought that it was mutter based on the sources themselves in Shulchan Aruch. But then in the last two paragraphs of the tshuva, I'm happy to send it to anybody here, the last two paragraphs of the tshuva, he writes that the reason why he thinks it's okay is because there are many of the Gedolei HaMekubalim who write that before you daven, you're supposed to say, Hareini Mekabel Alai, Mitzvah Haseh Shal Ve'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Many Siddurim have that in the beginning, before Baruch Sha'amar, you say Ve'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. What does Ve'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha do with anything? Why don't I say, Hareini Mekabel Alai, that if I pass the Mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan, I'm going to do it today? What does anything have to do with Tefillah? So the answer is, if you want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to, if you want to be on the Ribbono Shel Olam's good side, you should be nice to his children. There's no better way to get the Ribbono Shalom's attention than to say, I take upon myself to take care of your children. V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha. So Rav Rimon said, is there a greater way of taking care of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children than this? Is there a greater expression of V'ahavta L'recha Kamocha than this, that I'm willing to embarrass myself, to look like a fool, to walk around all day in these crazy costumes, just to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children happier? Is there a greater way to have hachana for tefillah than that? So I thought it was such a beautiful response. And that's really the reason why I sent it to him. So I'm on a WhatsApp group. It's like 500 Rabbanim all over Chutz Laaretz who are on a WhatsApp group with Rabbi Rimon. It is so incredibly impressive. He responds to every single question. Dalit Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. He responds probably within a day or two to every single one. A full drawn-out response with all the makoras and everything. He's amazing. The output of that WhatsApp group is phenomenal. It's really an amazing group. And people are asking him questions just today alone. I can't even follow the whole thing. There's so much going on. They were asking about Erevin, and people were asking about Hilchos Nida, and a mikvah shaila, and a surgery issue, 9 days questions, all kinds of different things, very fascinating issues that are going on there on the chat. And he responds to everyone. And I thought that everybody, even though I knew the answer to my question, I thought everybody on the group would gain from seeing his beautiful and sensitive response, which is why I posted it to the group. Little did I know I was going to get hammered by Rabbanim all over the world who were offended for Rav Schechter's kavod. How dare his son ask a question to someone else in a public forum? It's such a chutzpah to your father, which is a ridiculous taina. I don't understand it at all. And I was really attacked by a number of Rabbanim here in America. Then I went to Israel last week for three days. And I land in Israel. A rabbi comes over to me literally right after I landed. He says, I don't understand. It's a chutzpah of you. How can you do that? I'm like, I can't get away from this thing. I thought it was only the rabbis in America who had an issue with this. Anyway, I said to him, I would venture to say, if I would ask my father, do you think it makes sense that if there's a Talmud Chacham who also knows how to answer a shaila and other people will gain from the answer he's given, even without that caveat, don't you think it's nice to ask him? I'm sure he would say yes. I just have a slight feeling. I know my father a little bit. I think he would say yes. Anyway, it was an interesting issue. I didn't know why it got people so upset. But let's look here at the tshuva of the Chavos Yar, where the Chavos Yar actually has an interesting story. He brings down the case where you have a wealthy man in the town who builds a house. He wants to have a big mansion. So there's no room to have a house here. He builds the house across the river. And he says, what am I going to do about coming over on Shabbos for a minyan? He didn't think about that. So now he says, I have a great idea. What's the good idea? He says, Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah. Why? What's the Shvus to Shvus? It says you're not allowed to go on a raft on Shabbos. Why? Even if the raft was made before Shabbos. Why? It's a gzeira, maybe something's going to happen, you're going to fix it up, misakin mana, whatever it is, you're going to fix something, you're going to violate a malach. Oh, so he says, I have a great idea. I'm going to violate Amira l'Nachri, which is only Nisad Rabbanan. I'm going to ask the Nachri to make a raft for me, to take me across the river, to go down with a minion. So his cheshbon sounds correct. Why? We generally say shus to shus makom mitzvah is mutter. So here he is. He built a house on the other side of the river, and now he wants to come. Now, number one, This is actually a contentious point, but my father is very, very sure of his opinion. Other contemporary poskim don't agree. But my father holds very strongly. This whole heter of shvus to shvus makom mitzvah is an emergency heter. When you're stuck, then we say shvus to shvus makom mitzvah, which is why if you have somebody who lives in Manhattan, and they live on the 18th floor of a building, and it means that every Shabbos they're going to have to do Amir Lenachri to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for them, to push the button for them to go up and down in the elevator, is that permissible or not? I don't remember exactly. I don't know if Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it, or they just say mipi hashmua from Rav Moshe. But apparently, Rav Moshe agreed that you're not allowed to live in such a building. How can you set yourself up in a situation where you know that every Shabbos you're going to have to violate Amir l'Nachri? It's not permissible. It's a heter shvus to shvus makom mitzvah when you're stuck. So if you have a chole, or you're invited to someone's house and you can't walk up the steps, of course you're allowed to go. You don't say, I'm not going to take the invitation. Whatever, that's an emergency, you're stuck. But to put yourself in a situation where every Shabbos you're going to have to do that is something that perhaps is not allowed. So the Chavos Yair here says, forgetting about that, he doesn't raise that issue, but he says, even if you would say shvus to shvus makom mitzvah is allowed, in this case it's not. Why? Because this is not a makom mitzvah. You don't have an obligation to go down with a minyan. It's a nice recommendation. It's a good thing to do. But you don't have to do it, and therefore you don't have a heter to do it. So that's a big chiddush from the Chavos Yair, but an interesting point. Again, all of this is within the opinion of the Rambam, where the Rambam says his conclusion from these three gemaras and brachos and psachim, his conclusion is that tefillah is not an absolute chiyuv. No, tefillah is a chiyuv. Tefillah b'tzibur is not an absolute chiyuv. And it's something that Chazal very strongly recommend because they want your tefillah to be answered. But if you have extenuating circumstances, you would not have to go daven with a minyan. Yeah?
Does Kriyas Satora change the equation?
In which way?
That it becomes a makom mitzvah there? Like, do we say Kriyas Satora?
On Shabbos, you mean?
Shabbos.
I don't think so. The yeah, the Kriyas Satora, most of the Rishonim say, is a Chavos HaTzibur. It's not a Chiv on the Yachid, so it's less. I think Kriyas Satora is less. Okay, so that's with regard to that. Actually, once you're talking about Kriyas HaTorah, my father made a very interesting psak. I just don't want to forget to say it at some point, but Yad B'Yad came to talk to me before the summer about all the different shilas that they anticipated. One of them that they asked was that they're going as their own unit, they're going to Eretz Yisrael, and they're not going to be incorporated into the local shuls. They're going to be davening together for the entire 6 weeks of the program that they're there. And they don't have off Shabbosos either. They don't have time off because since they have some participants who are special needs, so they can't just give off and assume everyone's going to take care of themselves. So the program stays together for 6 weeks. My father told them, since they're going to be a program that's going to be incubated by themselves the whole time and davening with their own minyanim, they should keep on the American Parsha. So here they are. It's interesting. Here they are in Israel. And the whole Israel, I find it strange already that America and Eretz Yisrael are on different Parshas. I find it very uncomfortable.
Only one more week,
but still, it's been very uncomfortable. 14 weeks in a row that we've been on this imbalance. But here, he told them, even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, but since you're going to be staying with the Bnei Chutz La'aretz and not breaking out at all, if you were going, let's say, an NCSY Kola, where the boys are going to take off a few Shabbosos and go to relatives or friends, so then you don't want people to be all mixed up. So he told them to do regular what they're doing in Eretz Yisrael. But there, where they're going to be together the whole time, so he said, keep to your own schedule. And then you catch up the final week, which is an interesting psak. It has nothing to do with this, but once you mention Kriyas HaTorah, it's an interesting thing to be aware of. Anyway, this is all the opinion of the Rambam. The Tur feels differently. The Tur says, how can you say Tefillah B'tzibur is not a chiyuv? Of course it's a chiyuv. Look at the Gemara. You're going to tell me Rabbi Elazar was allowed to free a slave for something that was not an obligation? And the Rambam has a fancy pshat in the Gemara. And the other Gemara says you have to go an hour out of your way to go daven with a minyan. What is it? The Rambam says is talking about washing your hands? Really, like Jake said, washing your hands is that important before davening? To the point that you're going to say, I have to go an hour out of my way to wash my hands? It can't be. The Gemara, the pashtus of the Gemara is, you go an hour out of your way to make a minyan. Of course that's what the Gemara means. And therefore the Torah says, there is an absolute mitzvah, there's an absolute obligation to daven with a minyan. How do we pass in a Shulchan Aruch? Well, Shulchan Aruch is not so clear. He says, Yishtadel Adam. What does that sound like? He doesn't say, Yishtadel Adam to light Hanukkah candles. He doesn't say, I should try. It sounds like, you should try. You know, if you can, you do. If you can't, so you don't. So what exactly does that mean? It's a very, very problematic psak in the Shulchan Aruch. So you look at Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, where Rav Moshe is emphatic about his position, where Rav Moshe writes in Aruch Chaim, Chelek Beis, Siman Chav Zayin, that this is an absolute chiyuv. Hine lehispala ba'asara, hu chiyuv mitzvah la'adam, velo rak hidur umayla ba'alma. You can read the rest of it, where Moshe says, this is absolutely not a recommendation. This is an absolute chiyuv. This is something that we have to do. Rav Moshe then says, so what's with the Shulchan Aruch when he says, yishtadel adam? Rav Moshe says, if you look through Shulchan Aruch enough, you look through the sources enough, you find it's appropriate to use the Lashon Yishtadel even when you're talking about something that is an obligation. What the Shulchan Aruch means here is, you don't have to make yourself absolutely crazy to daven with a minyan. You try, it's a mitzvah, but if you have extenuating circumstances, so you don't. Now what's important here to point out, and I think it's obvious, but it's something that we find with regard to many of the mitzvahs HaTorah, Mishneh Berurah points out, if a person is an anus, a person is in a real emergency situation, obviously you don't daven with a minyan. Okay, so be it. So now the question becomes, how do you define what exactly is a situation of anus? What? Right, correct. So how far would you go to try to explain this? Right? What? Yeah. So it's Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva that was not yet printed. It's going to be in Chelek Dalet of the tshuvas, but I proofread it a while ago. So I took from there today where he also weighs in on this issue. He gets very upset because he once wrote a tshuva about Tefillah B'Tzibur and someone misunderstood him and said, oh, you see, he said that you don't have to daven with a minyan. And he said, no, that's actually not what I meant. So I think it's going to be the Simon Aleph in Chelek Dalet, which is not yet printed. So he clarifies his position and he says, no, Tefillah B'Tzibur is a chiyuv, like Rav Moshe writes. And he writes the following, Kol inyan ha-tefillah l'ratzos es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole point of tefillah is l'ratzos es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Memela chayavim anu l'shtadol b'inyan zeh. We have to try in every way we can to get our way into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how are we going to do that? So Chazal give us all the tools. Chazal said, you have a sitter with a whole Anshei Knesset HaGedolah told you exactly what to say. And on top of that, another way to try to get in with the Ribbono Shel Olam is to slip in with a tzibur. If you're going to daven b'yechidus, you don't have as good a chance of accomplishing that. Ach meidach, he writes, matzino de'efshar de'mayla zu nidches mepnei mayla acheres. Like everything else in life, you have to balance. Sometimes you have other factors that are coming from a different perspective, and those will override this idea of tefillah b'tzibur. Does that mean tefillah b'tzibur is not a chiyuv? No, of course not. The same way we find osik mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Sometimes you have one factor that overrides another factor. The same way we say tadr b'sheinu tadr. You always have to make a balanced equation to figure out what's more important, what's less important. When I'm confronted with two different things, which one should I do? Which one should I not? So that's the same over here. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if a person is too weak, they're not feeling well, they shouldn't go to shul, you don't daven with a minyan, you don't have to strain yourself too much. The Mishneh Berurah says, would I be allowed to skip a minyan in order to do business? So the Mishneh Berurah says, if a person is going to lose money as a result of making a minyan, says the Mishneh Berurah, you would not have a chiyuv to go make a minyan. So let's say they're going to dock your pay in the office if you're going to take off time to go down with a minyan, right? So Mishneh Berurah, you wouldn't be mechuyev to do that. However, the Mishneh Berurah says, to hold myself back from a potential gain of money, then the Mishneh Berurah says, no, that's not acceptable. So to hold myself back from losing money, I'm not mechuyev to do that for the sake of making a minyan. To be able to make more money, or to be able to have the potential of making more money, that would not be justifiable. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees with that. If you look here in the Aruch HaShulchan on the next page, the Aruch HaShulchan disagrees, and he says, no. Look, let's read it. I find this a very fascinating comment to the Aruch HaShulchan. V'zeh she'ein anu nizharim b'zeh, mishum she'anu holchem b'derech l'panas asenu, v'nechshav zeh l'dvar mitzvah. Writes the Aruch HaShulchan, making a parnasa, supporting ourselves and our families, is a dvar mitzvah. Sharei mitzvah lefarnish ishto bezaro, ti ishto chove lefarnasa, ubanu bebenosa, var mechazal, da'al zeh nemar, osit tzedaka becholeis. So writes the Aruch HaShulchan, why is it that people are missing minyanim left and right today? So he says, the reason why is because we have a mitzvah to take care of our children, we have a mitzvah to support our families, and therefore that would be a good enough excuse. Now, is that really a good enough excuse? We have such...
Parnassa comes from Hashem, from God, from Hashem.
So why go to work?
So we should daven first.
So why go to work?
You have to be stopless, but that doesn't mean to miss a mitzvah of davening, because your parnassa is going to be a parnassa.
So that's what the Mishneh Berurah says. The Mishneh Berurah says, it's true parnassa is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the end of the day, if I'm not going to be able to make a parnassa because I'm going to daven with a minion, it doesn't say you shouldn't daven. It just says, a minion...
How much do you have to work to make a parnassa? We say just listen, learn.
So everybody has different degrees.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting question. What if a person says, I'm going to be able to have more kavana at home? First of all, is that really true? You're going to have more kavana at home? I don't know. For me, it's never the case. When I daven b'yechidus at home, I'm never able to have as much kavana. Now, maybe it's because I have five little boys running around at home. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But says Rav Moshe, even if you don't have little kids running around at home, and you're actually going to be able to focus, Rav Moshe still says he doesn't think it's the right decision to make to daven at home, because of kavana concerns. Number one, Rav Moshe says we have an overarching assumption that people today don't have as much kavana as they should. You look in some of these Sfardi Sidurim, I'm always amazed. You look in the Sfardi Sidurim, like Sfardim, not Nusach Sfard, they have kavanas every Shema Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're supposed to be thinking this, thinking that, every bracha, this. I can't even follow. But it means that somebody at some point in time actually did have all those things in mind. So I'm light years ahead away, I'm light years behind all of those great tzaddikim who know how to think about all kinds of different things. I'm trying to focus on the words. I'm just trying to read the words. I can't even get through it. So Rav Moshe says, the assumption today is people are not having the kinds of kavana they were ever supposed to have. Therefore he says, safest bet is to daven in the shul. And he says, if you're going to be able to have minimal kavana in the shul, that's better than trying to assume that you're going to have more kavana at home, which is still not going to be on the level of the kavana that one is supposed to have. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes, if you're going to daven in a shul where people are going to talk to you the whole davening and they're going to talk Lashon Hara in the middle, then you have to make a different consideration. What will happen? I think this point seems so obvious. I don't even understand how some Acharonim disagree. I mean, I do understand, because the one who disagrees is Chalkas Yaakov, who's Rabbi Yaakov Breish, who is a Chassidusher, I think. So he disagrees. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, if by davening with a minion I'm going to miss this Zman Tefillah, so Mishnah Berurah says, of course, then you skip the minion and daven at home. And the Chalkas Yaakov disagrees, and he says, no, what are you talking about? You should daven with a minion anyway, because a minion is a minion. No, but you're after the Zman Tefillah. Maybe the answer is because he's from that community where they have a different kind of understanding of Zman Tefillah. I don't know exactly how to explain it, but this is, the Mishnah Berurah is clearly the Psak HaMakubal, that if a person has a toss-up between minion on the one hand and Tefillah Bizmana on the other hand, obviously Tefillah Bizmana comes first. A very common shaila that happens in the airport very often is somebody needs to go to the airport, you need to catch a flight, and you have a choice. Either to daven Nates without a minion, right? You can daven Nates without a minion, or you can daven later with a minion. So which one should he do? What? So Nates with a minion is a very interesting question. This is something that was discussed in the Bir Halacha, where he says that Vasikin is so important based on the Gemara. The Gemara darshans from a pasuk, Yiru'ucha im Shemesh. We're supposed to be seen with the sun. What does it mean you should be seen with the sun? It means you should daven along with the sunrise. So we assume that Hanetz HaChama is considered to be the optimal time to daven. In fact, I think the Vilna Gaon writes, any time that you daven after Nates is considered to be the Evid. Your tefillah is supposed to be daven with Hanetz HaChama every morning. I'm not saying it only because Stewie Wagner is a president. I'm saying it because it's the right thing. It's the right thing to do. He's a chairman. You're supposed to do it. You're supposed to daven at Nates every day. In fact, the Gemara says Chizkiyo HaMelech at one point in his life became very sick. And he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Ribbono Shalom should save his life and he should make him better. Now, in what schus did he ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I actually had someone a couple of years ago. I know I'm over time again. I'm sorry. So I had someone. This is incredible. There was somebody who called me. I think it was 2 years ago, Yom Kippur. I know this person. I never would have thought I would get such a question from him. It was so inspiring. He called me up. He said he gives a bracha to his children Erev Yom Kippur every year, as is the minhag. And he said this year, I don't know exactly what was going on in his family, he said, we really need an extra special schus this year. Something was going on. He was nervous about something. He said, when I give a bracha to my children this year, I really feel that I need some extra schus because of whatever personally was going on. He said he has children who are already 19 years old, so he must be at least 40, right, I assume. So he told me that since his bar mitzvah, he could be made. He has never once said a word of Dvar Metelem with his tefillin on. Never once. He said he took it upon himself at his bar mitzvah. Somebody encouraged him. He said, I can say with certainty. He said, sometimes I down very quickly. Sometimes my tefillin aren't on for so long, but he said, I can assure you, I've never once said a word of Dvar Metelem in my tefillin. So he wanted to know, when he gives a bracha to his children, Erev Yom Kippur, can he put his tefillin on when he gives the bracha and say, in the schus of the way I've treated my tefillin, I want a Yeshua. I thought it was an absolutely amazing comment to make about oneself. And he had a Yeshua, and it was unbelievable. So sometimes when a person needs a Yeshua, you highlight something in your life that you know is very special. And you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the schus of this extra special mitzvah that I have, or extra special mitzvah that I've done, or hither that I've taken care of, I ask that I should have a Yeshua, I should have a Geula, I should have a Parnasa, whatever it is. So here, Chizkiyahu HaMelech is very sick, and he needs a Yeshua. So what's he going to ask in the schus of what? So you look in the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech in his generation did such a good job educating the Jewish people. Every little school child knew all of Kutchim and Taurus by heart. He was amazing. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was unbelievable. So you would think he would get up and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved my life. Why? Because look what I did. Look at the Jewish people. No. What does Chizkiyahu HaMelech say? In the schus that I daven kivasikin, I hope that I should have an Arichas Yam. How interesting is that? That's the one thing he chooses. So the Bir Halacha asked the question, if Vasikin is clearly so significant and so important, then maybe we should say that Vasikin will be something that's overriding a minion. So if I don't have a Vasikin minion, can you imagine there are some shuls that don't have a Vasikin minion in the morning? So if you have a shul that doesn't have a Vasikin minion, but you wake up early, maybe I should daven kivasikin. So Mishnah Berurah says, he thinks it makes sense. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, it's only somebody who davens Vasikin every single day. Stam, you're going to wake up tomorrow morning, you happen to be up early, you weren't able to sleep, so you're going to say, oh, Vasikin, why not? You can't just haphazardly decide, oh, I'm going to skip a minion here, skip a minion there, let me wake up early, wake up late. It doesn't work that way. If you're davening Vasikin consistently, this is what you do every day, then if you find yourself in a situation where you don't have a minion, you still should daven Vasikin as opposed to going to look for a minion. What about vacationing without a minion? That is a very interesting question. I could not find it today, and I couldn't get in touch with him. Rabbi Feiner has certainly told me on a number of occasions, I think he says it from the Chazon Ish or someone else, that if a couple feels they need to go on vacation, and the only way to go on vacation is to go to a place where there's no minion, because they need to focus on each other, whatever, I don't know. We have a million and one places where you can go on vacation with a minion, but if you have a situation where, for whatever reason, your spouse is saying, we need to go here, we need to see this, we need to go there, and it's good for the health of the couple, I remember him telling me on many occasions that he relies upon that and he doesn't daven with a minion. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is very opposed to that, and he feels we have so many places to go for a minion today and so many potential opportunities to go and vacation, there really would be no excuse at all to daven, to go to a place where there is no minion. Obviously, skipping a minion for health reasons, we'll end in a minute. Skipping a minion for health reasons is something that we said before is permissible. That's what the Gemara writes in Brachos, that Rav Nachman didn't make a minion because he wasn't feeling well. But look at a very beautiful psak here, number 20, a very beautiful psak of the Halicha Shlomo, Reb Shlomo Zalman, where he says, what happens if you have somebody who's not feeling well? The doctors told him you can go out of your house once a day. So he has two options. He can either go out of his house to go to minion, or he can go, or whatever, limited times a day. He can either go out of his house for a minion, or he can go out of his house to go check in the office to make sure everything's okay, to see what's going on there, make sure his workers are doing their job. Which one should he do? Before I read this psak of Shlomo Zalman, I thought, there's nothing to discuss. You should go for a minion. What's the shaila? Shlomo Zalman here says, no, he should go to his office. He should skip Tefillah B'Tzipur. Why? Ki al yedei sheyavo ben habrios teitiv hargashasu. Part of his rehabilitation, part of his getting better is he should be back into society. He should be talking to his friends. He should be visiting the office. That's going to make him get better. Therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, in the long run, that's going to be better for his whole life. So you can't just look at the shaila that's in front of you right now and say, oh, well, which is better, minion or going to the office? Of course, minion is better than the office. You have to widen the lens a little bit. You have to think about it in the context of his life. What's better for him in the long run? Is it better for him to be rehabilitated, back with his friends, back in the office, back on his rhythm and routine? Or should we say, no, he has to be rigid, he has a minion to go to, he's only allowed to go out once a day, and that is what he should do. So, I thought that was a very, very beautiful psak of Reb Shlomo Zalman, which is followed by a psak that Reb Shlomo Zalman makes as well. What happens if I miss the minion, and now there's another minion, but as a result of going to the later minion, I'm going to miss my chavrusa. So then says Reb Shlomo Zalman, you should go learn with your chavrusa and forget the minion on that given day, because that's a situation where you're not going to be able to do both of them. If I'm going to daven with a minion, I'm not going to be able to learn. If I'm going to learn, I'm going to be able to daven and learn. And I may be forgoing the minion, but that is something that is that he's prepared to do. So Reb Nevensal, following up on that psak, Reb Nevensal is a Talmud of Reb Shlomo Zalman, said that the same would be, let's say you have somebody who joins the Israeli army, and they have two options. I can join a very elite unit where they can use my expertise, but I'm never going to have a minion. There just aren't 10 frum people who want to daven with a minion. Or I can go to a regular unit where there are plenty of frum boys in the army with me, and that would be sufficient. So says Reb Nevensal, that would be the same as Reb Shlomo Zalman's psak here. If I'm able to do both, I can daven with a minion and learn with my chavrusas and then do both. What if I have a toss-up and I'm only able to do one of the two? So then says Reb Shlomo Zalman, you should learn with your chavrusa and daven without a minion. Same over here. if I'm going to be able to serve the Jewish people by being in the elite unit and helping Klal Yisrael in that way, and it's something that otherwise I'm not going to be able to do because I'm going to be looking for a minion, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, says Reb Nevin Sal, based on the Pesach of Reb Shlomo Zalman, we would assume that that would be a worthwhile trade-off and you should go to the elite unit and forego the minion. Okay.